Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Tainis Daf Chav Ches. We are holding on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We are about 13 lines from the end of the page on Chav Zayin Amud Beis at the two dots. Bayom Arishon Bereshis and Vayihi Rakia. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Friends of the Beach Minion, Lizchus Rufor Shleima for Aryeh David Alevi Ben Yehuda Shira. Also sponsored by Stuart Weinberg in memory of his beloved mother, Joan Ann Weinberg, who passed away just after the start of the present daf cycle, her Nesham Shav and Aliyah. And also by Avram and Becky Cement in honor of the recent marriage of their son, Binyamin, to Penina Rosenbaum. We wish the Cement family a mazel tov on Binyamin's marriage, and we thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're picking up again at the two dots, about 13 lines from the bottom of the page, and the Gemara is going to discuss how it's possible to fit two Aliyos into five Pesukim, because one of the Ma'amadas that's described is a set of five Pesukim where we have to have two different Olim. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether they do the Kriya by Musaf Balpeh, and why that would be allowed to do that. How do they manage to do that without violating any Yisr? Then the Gemara is going to bring stories of different people who deceived the authorities in order to be able to bring Bikurim and to bring Eitzim for the Ma'aracha, because apparently there were Gzeros that were made that we weren't allowed to do these things and we had to sneak it in. So how exactly they deceived the guards in order to bring these things to Yerushalayim? Then the Gemara is going to identify some of the Mevi'e Eitzim, the families that we mentioned in the Mishnah, who are Mevi'e Eitzim on specific dates, and how the Havasa Eitzim would cancel the Ma'amados. Then on Amud Beis, we're going to talk a little bit about Hallel, which days we recite Hallel, the full Hallel, and why it is that Hallel on Rosh Chodesh recited if there's no din to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And the Gemara is also going to talk about calculating the date of the Shviras Haluchos. When exactly was it that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, because we're going to start getting into what the Mishnah listed, the five reasons that we observe Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. So let's begin. Chav Zayin Amud Beis at the two dots. B'yom HaRishon Bereshis V'Yirakia. On Yom HaRishon, the Anshei Maimud would read the Parshios of Bereshis and the Parshios of Yirakia. So Tana Bereshis B'Shnayim, Yirakia Be'Echad. Bereshis was split up into two people, but Yirakia was one Olah, because it's only three Pesukim in Yirakia. Well, Bishlam Yirakia Be'Echad Tzlas Pesukei Avi. I get why Yirakia is only one Olah, because there are three Pesukim in Yirakia, and you always need to have a minimum of three Pesukim. El Bereshis B'Shnayim, Chamisha But how do they divide up the parsha of Bereshis, which only has five psukim, into two different olim? If each olah is going to need to read three psukim, five cannot divide into two different olim. We always have a minimum of three psukim. The Gemara Megillah is going to tell us kinegetor neviim uksuvim. That's why it has to dafka be three that corresponds to Torah neviim uksuvim. So that probably is meant to symbolize that all of it is encapsulated in the Torah, that even the Nevi'im Uksuvim is somehow, that's what the Gemara says, that Lasadavo, we're only going to have Chamishu Chamshei Torah V'Sefer Yoshua Bilvad, that everything else, all the messages of all the Nevi'im are going to be derived and incorporated in the Torah. So the Gemara has two answers, two resolutions to this problem. How do we deal with five Pesukim and two Olim? Rav Amar Doleg, Ushmol Amar Posek. Those are the two solutions. Rav says the first Ola reads three Pesukim, then the second Ola goes back one Pasuk and repeats a Pasuk that the first Ola read, similar to what we do, or exactly the same that we do on Rosh Chodesh. And Shmuel says, no, the first Ola reads two and a half Pesukim, and the second Ola reads two and a half Pesukim. Take the middle Pasuk and cut it in half. So Rav Amar Doleg, my time Ola Amar Posek, what was wrong with Shmuel's suggestion? Isn't it confusing to go backwards and to read the same Pasuk again? Why not just split the Pasuk in half? So Kasavar Kol Pesuka to Lo Paski Moshe Anan Lo Paskin Lei, because Rav holds that any Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't divide, that it didn't break up as a separate Pasuk, we're not allowed to break it up. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah split up into Pesukim. We don't have the right to read a part of a particular pasuk. We have to read the entirety of a pasuk. So it's much better that the second guy should go back and read a pasuk again rather than to be posek. Shmuel amar posek, and Shmuel says that we do split the pasuk. Mi paskinan? Are you really allowed to do such a thing? You're allowed to read a half a pasuk. From Rabbi Chanina Kara, Rabbi Chanina, who was a Kara, he was a Bal Mikra, he was someone who taught children. Ben Chamesh Lemikra, when a person reaches the age of five, they're supposed to be taught Mikra until the age of 10. So he was the teacher for those young grades when they were learning Tanakh. And he said, you know, my job isn't easy. Tsar Gadolo Yilietzel Rabbi Chanina Gadol. I had a lot of negotiations that, to try to convince Rabbi Chanina Gadol that I cannot teach full psukim at a time. Try to tell a five-year-old and just read a whole pasuk and then start explaining it to him. You have to break it down phrase by phrase, word by word. It's impossible to teach it if you're doing a whole pasuk at a time. But he finally gave in and he told me that I could split the pasuk, but only for Tinoka Shel Beis Rabban, because we're doing that not as a kriyas haTorah but just as a limud in order to be able to teach them. So how could Shmuel allow splitting up a pasuk for kriyas haTorah? That's not lislamid. Shmuel would respond, Hasam time am I mishum tolo efshar. Why is it that he allowed it for the Tinoka Shel Beis Rabban? It's because there's no other option. You can't teach a 5 year old an entire pasuk at one time. You have to divide it up in order for him to understand what's going on. Well, guess what? Hachanami lo efshar. When it comes to kriyas haTorah of the Anshei Maimid, you also have no other possibility. There's no other way to read the parsha of Bereishis that in two olim, unless you do it my way. Shmuel says, unless you split the pasuk in half. Now the Gemara is going to ask, what's wrong with Rav's solution? Why didn't Shmuel think of Rav's solution? That's the next line of Gemara. But lechora, one could have asked even better. The Pnei Yeshur raises the question. There's no limit on the psukim that you can read. You have the whole Torah in front of you. So why not just read another parsha? Meaning read five psukim for the first aliyah, three psukim for the second aliyah, and then go into Yikavu Hamayim, go into the next parsha. Why do you have to squeeze two olim into the parsha of Bereishis? So Pnei Yeshua says no, because if you can read on one day three days of Maisa Bereishis, and then another day you're only going to read 2 days of Maisa Bereishis, you're going to be Matil Kinah b'Maisa Bereishis. So we don't want to do that. We want to keep things even, that it should be consistent one day to the next. Okay, so that's why we had to fit it into two. And Shmuel says we had no other option. Shmuel amar posik my time alone or dolik. But what was wrong with Rav's option? So gzera mishum anachnasin, gzera mishum hayotzin. It was a gzera because people come into shul a little bit late after the first aliyah and they see where the second ola is picking up from. They'll look in their chumash and they'll say, wait a second, the first ola must have only read two psukim because the second ola is picking up from pasuk gimel. Or someone who leaves early and realizes that that the first ola read psukim aleph through gimel is going to think to himself, oh, the next ola, I have to leave, I have to go to work, I have to catch a train or whatever it is that people leave early for. So the next ola is probably only going to read two psukim. So that's what he's going to assume. So we, in order that people shouldn't get that misimpression, better to cut the pasuk in half. So the Gemara now brings a brisa that's going to be a kasha both on Rav and on Shmuel. Meisve, we have a brisa that talks about kriyas haTorah throughout the year. The parsha shall shisha psukim koronosa b'shnayim. That if you have a parsha that's six psukim long, you can have two olim. V'shal chamisha b'yachid. V'marishon kori shlosha, sheni kori shnayim, v'parshazu v'echon v'parsha acheres. If you have a parsha of five psukim, you only give one aliyah for that parsha, or you could give an aliyah of three psukim, and if the guy stops two psukim before the end of the parsha, the next guy will finish that parsha and read another pasuk in the next parsha. V'yeshomim shlosha. Some say he's got to go three psukim to the next parsha. L'vishen maschilim b'parsha pachas mishlosha psukim, because you're not allowed to begin a parsha less than three psukim into it. I mean, you have to do a minimum of three psukim from the beginning of the parsha. So but frankly, Gemara, wait a second. Why? L'mandi amar doleg lidlog. If you hold that you're allowed to reverse and go back and read a pasuk again, so like Rav said, why don't you do that? And if you hold like Shmuel that you're allowed to cut a pasuk in half, live so. Why don't you do that? Why didn't the Brisa think of those suggestions? Says Mara, shiny awesome. The Brisa is talking about kriyas haTorah throughout the year, the Islay Ravcha, where you have plenty of possibility to just read more and more pasukim from another parsha, from the parsha. parsha that follows it. Whatever you read, Be'inyon Shalyom is going to be fine. And you don't need to be dolik or to be posik. But over here, by the kriya of the parsha Yosef the Ma'amados, we don't have that ability to just read from the parsha that follows, because you're only allowed to read from the parshas of Bereshis and Yehirikiya, and you're not allowed to read other parshas. So we have to be medalik, because we already predetermined, as we said before, the Bnei Yeshua, for whatever reason, not to be matil kin of Ma'aseh Bereshis, whatever it is, but we already predetermined that it's got to be these two parshios. So once you predetermine it's got to be these two parshios, we have to do things that are b'di'evet, even though we'd prefer not to. So a couple of things over here. The Rishonim raise a kasha in Tshuvas Maram Rutenberg. He quotes it from the Tshuvas and the Tshuvas of the Bali Atos as well. You have the following kasha that's raised. How could Rav and Shmuel disagree about the Seder Akriya? Meaning there are certain machlokos that you have throughout Shas, where you say, what did your father do? Right? Meaning you've been to shul before. Right? So what have they done? What have they done before? Right? That's the kasha about the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam and tefillin of Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam's bar mitzvah. Whose tefillin was he wearing? Right? Meaning he was already arguing. He was already wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. Okay, so there are lots of answers to that question. Probably we call it tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam wasn't the originator of that shita. He was a proponent of that shita. But there must have been multiple traditions for a while. So you could always give such an answer that there must have been multiple traditions for a while. But how could it be that Rav and Shmuel disagree? The Rishonim ask, how could they have forgotten their minhag? The Yerushalmi asks about the Bnei Beseira, about Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos, how could they have forgotten their minhag in the sixth parak of Pesachim? So they say that the Bnei Beseira, the Lagabi of the Bnei Beseira, they asked, because Beis Yisrael is Yoshim al Admasam, Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, and Pesach is with a whole crowd of all of Klal Yisrael. So then Yerushalmi is going to ask, how could they have forgotten what to do? But Rav and Shmuel were living in Golus. Rav says Doleg holds that those who are Noeg otherwise must have forgotten the Minig, and Shmuel said that they must have forgotten the Minig if you held otherwise. Meaning they didn't have, they it wasn't when everything was going smoothly and we were in Eretz Yisrael. Now we mentioned this rule called Pasuk Tilo Paske Moshe and Nan Lo Paskinan. It is a rule. There are many exceptions to that rule that the Pasuk can point out. Some of the Achronim write that when you have a Pasuk with an Asnachta or a Zakev Katon, that you're allowed to be Mafsik in the middle of a Pasuk, because those traps indicate a break as well. That it doesn't always mean a full Pasuk necessarily. So it's as if it's Paske Moshe, and therefore there wouldn't be a Chashash. In the Tshuvas Rav Palam, he says that he thinks that that's correct. And it's mistaver that way. And he says, now we understand how we could say by Kiddush Levana, Tipal Aleim, Emasav Fachid, B'Gedol Zeracha, Yidmu Ka'aven. It's a Chatzi Pasuk, but we understand very well, because on the word Ka'aven, there's an Asnachta. So if there's an Asnachta, that you're allowed to do it. And he says, now I understand also, by Kiddush, at Shabbos in the morning, Al Kein Berach HaShem Yom HaShabbos Ve'Kachayu. It's a Chatzi Pasuk. How is it that people just say, Al Kein? You're not allowed to split a Pasuk in half. This would make sense, because after the word Hashvi'i, before the words Al-Kain, there's an Asnachta. So good, so it splits the Pasuk in half. We also understand how you can say Be'kriya Shema Lamita, Kiyat Hashem Achsi, also, which is a Chatzi Pasuk, because there's an Asnachta in the middle of the Pasuk. However, the Chassam Soper points out that our Gemara then doesn't make much sense. Meaning, if an Asnachta, if you're allowed to divide a Pasuk with an Asnachta, so what's the problem with the 2.5 and the 2.5? The whole reason Rav said Doliga not to be Posek is because how could you split a Pasuk? What do you mean? Every pasuk has got an asnachta, so split the pasuk at the asnachta, and that would be a problem. So it's a big kasha on that shita. That shita is quoted by the Nomagin Giborim from the Yachnu Voaz. Also, a second possible exception: the Nishmas Adam and Klal Hay. My brother wrote he wrote a sefer on Chay Adam Klal Samaches, and he also wrote a second sefer on Chay Adam Klal Hay, which is the column of brachos. So he writes, the Nishmas Adam over there writes that only when you're doing it derech kriyas hapasuk, it's also to be posek. But when it's bederech tfila, it's mutter. If you're saying a pasuk as a tfila, it's mutter. And he says that's why in Musaf Rosh Hashanah we say the psukim of the Neviim, we say Hashem Tzvakos Yagen Aleim, and that's what the Magen Avraham Prima Gadim also also say that's why you're allowed to do it. So you could also answer the kasha of the Chassam Sofer. How could we say before Kiddush on Friday night, Vayir Vayivoker Yom Hashishi? That's being mafsuk in the middle of a pasuk. So Chassam Sofer gives an answer that you have no other choice because you have to say Vayir Vayivoker because that's Yom Hashishi because you have to be meramis to the Yud Kei Vav Kei to the Shem Hashem. So there's no other option there. But come on, there's no other. Just start at the beginning of the pasuk, read the whole pasuk, and you'll still incorporate that into the Kiddush. But it could be that's permissible based on this exception that you're not doing it derech kriyas hapasuk, you're doing it derech tefillah. A third exception, the Tshuvas Maram Shik or Chaim Sim Kuf Chav Dalin, only when you're saying a pasuk for some chiyuv or a drasha, there's an issur not to be mafsuk a pasuk. When you're saying a bederech tzachus, it's mutter, right? A lot of times you get a wedding invitation and it says kol sasam kol simcha kol chasan v'kol kala. That's a part of a pasuk. That is not a whole pasuk. How are you allowed to do that? It's bederech tzachus. It's a way of saying, look, there's a wedding over here. That's Rav Shachter points out that generally speaking, you really shouldn't be putting psukim on wedding invitations because then people can't be throwing them out. And what do people do with wedding invitations? So now most people make wedding invitations online. So you just you're allowed to delete the email. That's okay. But nowadays it happens like that. But still, some people do send paper invitations. So you shouldn't put a full pasuk. So are you allowed to just write kol simcha v'kol chasam v'kol kala? So Pashto says yes. Rav Shachter pointed out because that's derech tzachus. It just means no one looks at that and says, oh, a pasuk, let's learn together. No, it means that there's a wedding over here, and it's clearly not meant as a pasuk. Another exception, Tshuvas Ha'elef L'Chashlomer, Rav Shlomo Kluger writes that when you're mechavin for Kriyas HaPasuk, there's nisur not to be mafsuk, but when you say a chatzi pasuk, derech raya from a pasuk is mutter. Like V'chanosias HaShorachon, when you bring a raya from a pasuk, and you only need the raya from a half a pasuk. The Gemara does that all the time. The Gemara always brings a half a pasuk when it's bringing a raya to something. So that's going to be mutter as well. Other acharim suggest that the yisur is only b'tzibur, but b'yechidus, maybe you're allowed to do it. So there's a big sugya. There's a lot of exceptions and a lot of questions from other, from many hanhagos that we have in halacha, that we have in daily life. So it's a fascinating and very large sugya. Okay, but weiter in the Gemara. Now, parsha gedola koron al b'shnayim. We said if you have a large parsha, you divide it up to two olim. B'shachs musim mincha koron al pian. And then we said that shachris musaf and mincha, they would say it bal peh as if they're korei shema. So Gemara says, whoa, what does that mean? Yibayilu, hechi ka'amar. What's the Mishnah trying to say? Where do you put the kama over here? B'shachris uba musaf koron osa b'sefer, and then kama uba mincha koron osa al peh ki koron shema. Is it only mincha that's the exception where they're going to do the kriyas haTorah bal peh like we say kriyas shema? O dil mahachi ketanir. Maybe you put the kama elsewhere. You read it like this. B'shachris koronos al b'sefer, kama u'b'musaf b'mincha koronos al b'koronos shema. Meaning the suffix is which side of the kama is musaf on? Is musaf that which we read bal peh, or do you read musaf b'chsav as well? So Tashema says we will bring a brisa that elaborates. B'shachris u'b'musaf nichnasu lebeis haKnesses v'korin k'derech shekorin kol hashana. So very clear. And musaf you also read from a sefer Torah u'b'mincha, and when they'd come into the shul at mincha time, they wouldn't take out a sefer Torah. Yachid kari al peh. Each individual, an individual would read a bal peh. Amar Rabbi Yossi challenges v'chi yachid yachal likra divrei Torah al peh b'tzibur. Is the yachid allowed to just read bal peh to the whole tzibur? No. Elukula nechrasin v'koron as al peh k'koron as shema. Everyone reads it to themselves. It's not a yachid reading to be motzi the tzibur bal peh. Everyone themselves reads it bal peh. But that's not the focal point for us. Our point of focus is that it said that at mincha, that it was dafka at mincha that there would be kari al peh. At musaf, they'd be kari mitoch haksav. So that's therefore a raya, which side of the kama musaf belongs on. That shachris and musaf go together, mincha's on the other side. Then we said in the Mishnah that whenever there's halal, there's no maimid. And we said, what cancels the maimid? So carbon eitzim would cancel the maimid by ni'ila. So the Mishnah means to say, a day that there is a carbon eitzim, which we're going to spend much of the staff discussing the carbon eitzim, there were no maimidos by ni'ila. So ma hefrish bin zel lezeh. What's the difference between mincha and ni'ila? That a carbon eitzim is docha, only the maimid of ni'ila, but it's not docha, the maimid of mincha. And so Gemara, halalu divrei Torah, halalu divrei sofrim. The answer is very simple. Mincha is a din d'oraisa, so carbon eitzim is not going to be docha the maimed of mincha, whereas ni'ila is only midivrei sofrim. So the carbon etzim could be docha the mitzvah midivrei sofrim of ni'ila. Now this is a very important line of Gemara. There is a well-known machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban whether tefila is daraisa or not. Everyone agrees, even the Ramban agrees, that tefila be'es tzara is a din daraisa, that when a person is in eis tzara you have to daven. But it's tefila b'chol yom shachris mincha mariv, is that a din daraisa? So the Ramban says no, it's not a din daraisa. So the Pri Chadash points out, and others as well, the Mabit point out, this is l'chora raya against the Ramban, because the Ramban says tefillah is rabbanan. Over here, the Gemara says, what's the difference between mincha and ni'ila? Mincha is daraisa. How could mincha be daraisa if it's only the whole concept of tefillah is rabbanan? Maritz Chayis asks another kasha. How could we learn tefillah mincha from Yitzchak? Generally speaking, in the Meidim Mikodem Matan Torah, right? Rashi points out what makes it daraisa because we learn it from Yitzchak. That's not what makes something a din daraisa. You're not allowed to learn Din of Daraisa from Kol D'Matan Torah. It had to be given to us again at Har Sinai in order for it to be a Din Daraisa. So it could be that one question answers the other. That we don't mean that it's a real Din Daraisa. We mean that it has very early roots, including that which is alluded to in the Torah itself. And that's what it is. So it's a tefillah may be a Din D'Rabbanan, but it's much stronger than the Ila in the sense that Yitzchak Avinu was Mesakin tefillah. It's not enough to make it a Din Daraisa, but it's enough to make it have roots B'Daraisa. So that's perhaps how the Ramban would understand this Gemara. So the Mishnah went on to say, "Zman atzei kohanim va'am." Tanu Rabbanan, lomo tzchul lomer zman atzei kohanim va'am. So the Braisa says, why does the Mishnah mention the zmanim that these families would bring their eitzim? Each one, you know, their special day to contribute the eitzim. So Amru, because there was a story behind it. Kishal the Bnei Agola lo matzu eitzim belishcha. When the Bnei Agola came back to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't find any atzei marocha after Gola's Bavel. They returned after 70 years. Ezra HaSofer led their return. The minuscule return to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't what it was supposed to be. That's what this week is. We have three fast days this week. We only observe one of them. We only observe Asar B'Teves, but Ches Teves is also a fast day, and Tes Teves is also a fast day. So Tes Teves is because of the death of Ezra HaSofer. It's the yahrzeit of Ezra HaSofer. So he... when he led people back from he contributed a lot to our religion would look very different. He was the head of the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, that was Masakin formalized tefillah. There were a lot of things that he did that are very noteworthy. So anyway, so when they came back from Bavel, so they didn't find any eitzim for the Ma'aracha Belishcha, and the Lishcha say eitzim in the Beis HaMikdash. So Amdu Elu, those mishpachos that were mentioned in the Mishnah, got up, is not v'mishalem, and they donated from their own. V'kach hisnu neviim shabineim, and the neviim among them made it tonight. Shafil Lishcha even if the lishcha is full of eitzim, you elim is not in mishalahen. These mishpachos will always have the right to contribute the eitzim on their own. And they can use, and they'll use the eitzim that these mishpachos volunteer. Because on those days that their forefathers donated the eitzim, even though, generally speaking, there will be eitzim in the lishcha, they'll have plenty of eitzim, but they get the right to contribute the eitzim that are actually used. Shenemar va'goralos yipalgu al korbanei eitzim hakvarim alavim va'am lahavi lebeis alukenu lebeis avaseinu li'itim uzumanim shana b'shana livar al mizvach hashem alukenu kakas v'torah. So that's what the pasuk is referring to, the bringing of these eitzim. V'imahem, and together, we said in the Mishnah, together with Zesu ben Yehuda, was also karim levim v'kol mi, and also b'nei gon ve'eli, and b'nei kotzei kitzios. So says Gemara, wait a second, tell Rabban, mayu b'nei gon ve'eli b'nei kotzei kitzios. Who are these people? Who's b'nei gon ve'eli? How do you earn a name, b'nei gon ve'eli? Well, what's b'nei gon ve'eli? How does one earn the name kotzei kitzios? What does that mean? So Amru Pamach, haskaz ramach, gzera al Yisrael, shalei yaviyu etzim l'marach, v'shalei yaviyu b'kurim l'Yerushalayim. One time there was a gzera against the Jewish people that they weren't allowed to bring etzim l'marach, they weren't allowed to bring b'kurim to Yerushalayim. The Marsha says, why dafka these two things? Where did they attack? Marsha says these are two things that are done with great simcha, with great fanfare. When they bring the bikurim, they would have a whole parade. The Havas Eitzim was a Yom Tov for them. It was part of the Megillas Tainus of what they would do as a special Yom Tov. So if you can take away the simcha of Yiddishkeit, you'll ultimately take away a lot of Yiddishkeit. Meaning, if people won't find simcha in their Judaism, if people won't find simcha in their Avodas Hashem, then ultimately they're not going to connect to it. For Shiva Prusdaus, and they set up guards, Aladrachim, on the roads to Yerushalayim to make sure sure no one was bringing Eitzim and no one was bringing Bikurim. Kederek Shosh of Yeravim ben Nevat, Shalal Yal Yisrael Regel, just like Yeravim ben Nevat after the split of the Malchus between Rechavim and Yeravim, and since Rechavim was the real Melech from the Malchus based David and had the right to have Yeshiva Ba'azara, unlike Yeravim, who was not from the Malchus based David and therefore couldn't have Yeshiva Ba'azara, so Yeravim knew that it would look terrible for him if everyone went to the base of Mikdash and there Rechavim was able to sit in the Azara and Yeravim was not. So he set up alternate forms of worship, Igle Azov, and people weren't allowed to go to Yerushalayim. So just like Yeravim set up guards to make sure no one was going to Yerushalayim, they set up guards, these authorities set up guards to stop people from bringing Bikurim. Ma Asuk Sherin V'Yerechet Shabos Adar, what did the good people and the Yerechet of that generation do? Heviu Sali Bikurim, they brought baskets of Bikurim, B'chipu B'ktzios, and they had dried figs around the edge of the basket, and they took them, V'Eli Al Ksvein, and they took an Eli, which is a wooden pestle, on their shoulders with them. And that's what the reason they took the Eli, Tosyantov says, they needed to bring the Eli with them because the Ktzios would not have been a good enough excuse, because Ktzios are also Ra'i for Bikurim, because if you're bringing from distant locations, you don't want to bring fresh fruit, it's going to rot by the time you get there. So they would bring dried fruit. So V'kim Shigiu Eitel Prozdos, when they got to the guards, Amar Lehem, Leichna Tamolchen, where are you going? Amar Lehem, Lasos Shnei Gulei Dveila, B'machteshes, we're making fig cakes, B'machteshes Shel Vanenu, with this Eli that we have, U'Ba'eli Shal Kisveinu, Kivin Shavru Mehen Itrum B'Salim, once they passed the guards, they would be Ma'ater, the baskets, they'd decorate the baskets as they would when you'd bring Bikurim, V'ivim, L'Yerushalayim, and then they would bring them to Yerushalayim, and that's why they're called Gonvei Eli, because they managed to elude the Shomrim, they'd elude the guards through the Eli. The reason that they're considered Gonvei Eli are included with the Gozrei Eitzim, the Marsha says, is you have to realize what they were doing was not only taking care of Bikurim, they were also taking care of the Eitzim. The Eli itself was used as the Atzei Ma'aracha, so they were sneaking both things in at the same time by bringing the Eli. So Tana Heinein B'nei Salmai Hanisofasi, these were the B'nei Salmai Hanisofasi. So the Gemara brings a Brisa that explains what was the Maisa with B'nei Salmai. Tana Rabban Mayin B'nei Salmai Hanisofasi Amru Pam Achas Kazer Malchus Gzera L'Shol Maracha, that they again made a Gzera that they shouldn't bring Eitzim to the Maracha, V'Oshivu Prozos HaLadrachim, and they set up guards on the roads, Kederek Shoshav Yeravim Ben Nevat, just like Yeravim Ben Nevat set up Shomrim HaLadrachim Shelo Yal Yisrael Regel, to stop people from being Olo the Regel. Ma Osu Yirei Chet Shabos Ador, so what did the Yirei Chet of that generation do? The Marsha says, points out that it's interesting that over here we only mention Yirei Chet, we don't mention Ksherim, whereas previously we mentioned Ksherim. But what did the Yirei Chet do? Heviu Gizirei, and they brought their blocks of wood, Vasu Sulamos, and they made ladders out of the wood, and they put them on their shoulders, and they brought these ladders. When they got to the guards, the guards said, where are you going? We have these tall ladders because we're trying to get birds from up in the dovecote. We're going to use these ladders for that purpose. Once they got past the guards, they pull apart the ladders, and they would bring them as the Eitzim to Yerushalayim. It's about people like this that we say, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. We always try to remember the Maisim Tovim of Tzadikim, and that always serves as a source of Bracha. As far as the likes of Yeravim Ben Nevat, we always mention them for the bad because of all the evil that they did. In the Iyun Yaakov, he discusses why did they dafka make ladders? There are so many kelim you could make out of wood. They could have brought shtenders, they could have brought, right? There are so many different things that you can make out of wood. So he said, well, the halacha is by the Atzei Ma'aracha that the wood can't be metula, can't be wormy, can't be insecure, you know, less than fully secure. Other wooden kalim could be made from Eitzim Metulaim, but a ladder you would never make from Eitzim Metulaim because you can't have even just one rung that's shvach, could be very dangerous. So they wouldn't make it from Eitzim Metulaim. So they wouldn't. People would have realized if they were bringing solid wood, to made, you know, in the form of other kalim, the guards may have been onto them. But with the ladder, there was nothing at all suspicious. suspicious about it. That's what the Yin Yaakov writes. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. Be'esrimbo, so we said on the 20th day of Chodesh Av, B'nei Pachas Mova ben Yehuda, the B'nei Pachas Mova ben Yehuda brought these Eitzim. So Tana, who is this family? B'nei Pachas Mova ben Yehuda, Hein Hein, B'nei David ben Yehuda. That means David HaMelech. It means the family of David HaMelech, because David was also a ben Yehuda. And he's called B'nei Pachas Moav because David is Pachas Moav. He comes from Rus HaMoavia. In the Siach Yitzchok, he points out, and Pachas is like Hakriveinu Nol Fachasecha, like bring to your governors. It means someone of authority, someone of governmental power. So he's David is a Pachas. So he's Pachas Ben Moav. It's Rameir Shita. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hein Hein B'nei Yoav Ben Tsruya. That it's a reference to Yoav Ben Tsruya, who also is a descendant of Rus, because his mother, Tsruya, was a sister of David HaMelech. Be'esrim Be'elul, on the 20th day of Elul, B'nei Adin Ben Yehuda. Who's that? So Tanu Rabban B'nei Adin Ben Yehuda, Hein Hein B'nei David Ben Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that that's a reference to David HaMelech. Now in the previous brayso, so we said that B'nei Pachas Ben Yehuda, Rabbi Meir held was David HaMelech. This is Rabbi Yehuda saying that this person is David HaMelech. So they're disagreeing which one is David HaMelech, but they're both agreeing that David HaMelech is covered over here. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hein Hein B'nei Yoav Ben Tsruya. Now Rabbi Yossi appears in both brises saying that these families are Yoav Ben Tsruya. So according to Rabbi Yossi, it would turn out, and the Gemara is going to discuss this in a moment, but according to Rabbi Yossi, it would turn out that the family of Yoav Ben Tsruya are mentioned twice in the Mishnah. So now, Be'echa B'tevis Shavu B'nei Parush. Now, considering what we just said, the Mishnah goes on to say that in Echa B'tevis, B'nei Parush had a second turn. Shavu B'nei Parush Shniyah. B'nei Parush went again. They had a second turn to bring the Eitzim. So says the Gemara, well, wait a second. Mani Masnisin. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah then? Lo Rabbi Meir, Lo Rabbi Yudav, Lo Rabbi Yossi. It fits none of the three Shitos in Tanoim. Because Rabbi Meir, if it's assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Meir, and according to Rabbi Meir, Pachas Ben Moa, Moav Ben Yehuda that's on the 20th day of Av is David Ben Yehuda. So just like by Parush, it says in the Mishnah that he brought a second time. Lisni Shavu B'nei David Ben Yehuda. It should say that on the 20th day of Av, B'nei David Ben Yehuda brought Eitzim Shniyah a second time, because B'nei David Ben Yehuda brought already on the 20th day of Tammuz. So if they come up again in a different form, in a different name, it's the same family going twice. And Erev Yehuda, and if you're going to say that the B'nai Adin Ben Yehuda are B'nai David Ben Yehuda, so then Lisni Shavu B'nai David Ben Yehuda Shnia. Also it should say that on Esrim Be'elul David Ben Yehuda went a second time, if you're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda. So and E Rabbi Yossi, and if you want to say the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi, then just from the Brises alone that we brought, we see that there's a repeat, because Lisni Shavu B'nai Yoav Ben Tsruya Shnia, because the Rabbi Yossi in the first Brisa said that B'nai Pachas Ben Yehuda is Yoav Ben Tsruya, and in the second Brisa said B'nai Adin Ben Yehuda is Yoav Ben Tsruya. So it should have mentioned something about Shainis, about it being a second time for them to bring, if you hold like Rabbi Yossi. So says Marino, the other Rabbi Yossi, really the author of Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. Why doesn't it mention that Yoav Ben Tsruya brought a second time? It's a machlokas in the Brises, which what Rabbi Yossi really held. Meaning they must have had a tradition that Rabbi Yossi held that somebody was Yoav Ben Tsruya. And then there were different traditions, there were different, where they veered from each other, was which one was Yoav Ben Tsruya, but not that Rabbi Yossi held that two of them are Yoav Ben Tsruya. So Yoav Ben Tsruya, in fact, did not have a second turn. Be'echad B'tevis. Then the Mishnah went on to say, Echad B'tevis, which is Rosh Chodesh, where there's a Musaf, and there's Halal Shalem, because it's also Chanukah, so there's Halal Shalem, and there's a Karban Eitzim, so lo ayubo Maimed. There was no Maimed by any Tefillah, because Halal is Docha, the Maimed of Shachris, Karban Musaf Rosh Chodesh is Docha, the Maimed of Musaf and Mincha, and since there's Karban Eitzim that day, there's no Maimed by Ni'ila. Samalei Mark Shisha Breda of Chista the Ravashi, so Mark Shisha Breda of Chista says Ravashi, Maishna Halal. Why is it that Halal is doch the maimed of Shachris, whereas Musaf is doch the maimed of Mincha, and not the maimed of itself, of Musaf? Samle Ravashi, Hashad Lavdi De Dachi Didei Lo Kolshke. No, what are you talking about? Of course it's doch the maimed of Musaf. It's just that in addition to the maimed of Musaf, it's also doch the maimed of Mincha. Samle, he says, no, but that's exactly my kasha. Hachi Kaminalach, Lo Lidchi Ella Didei. Well, it should should only be docha its own maimed. Karban musaf should not have the power to be docha not only the maimed of musaf but also the maimed of mincha. It should be docha only itself. So Amalei Ravashi says back, Ikar Rabbi Yossi dekai kavaseich. Rabbi Yossi holds like you that karban musaf is docha only the maimed of musaf and not the maimed of mincha. Titanya Rabbi Yossi omer kol yom sheyesh ba musaf yesh ba maimed. Any day that there's a musaf, there's a maimed, and he disagrees with the Tanakama, who says that a day that there's a musaf, that there's no maimed. So maimed to mai, which maimed is Rabbi Yossi talking about? That on a day that there's a musaf, there's a maimed. Which maimed still exists when there's a musaf? Ilem maimed de shachris. If it's trying to say maimed de shachris, well, Tanakama nami achikamer. Tanakama agrees with that. That having a korban musaf is not going to cancel the maimed of shachris. Ella must be maimed de musaf. The Rabbi Yossi is saying that when there's a korban musaf, there's a maimed of musaf. That doesn't make any sense. Tidei nami lo dachi. The carbon musaf is not even going to be docha its own maimed. Ella de mincha. Must be that's the point of dispute. Point of dispute between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi is when you have a carbon musaf, is it docha the maimed of mincha? So, well, carbon eitzim dachi. Well, on a day that there's a carbon eitzim, there's no maimed of mincha. So, from Rabbi Yossi, who says that any day that there's a musaf, there's a maimed, it sounds like even on if on that day there's also a carbon eitzim, there's going to be a maimed. A carbon eitzim is l'chora docha the maimed of mincha. So it can't be that it's that Rabbi Yossi holds that there's a maimed of mincha on each day that there's a musaf. Elolav, what you have to say is what Rabbi Yossi is saying, that on a day that there's a korban musaf, there's a maimed de ni'ila, that is referring to the maimed of ni'ila. The musaf is not docha the maimed of ni'ila. But you see, as Rabbi Yossi holds that a korban musaf is docha its own maimed, but it's not docha a maimed that's not itself, like mincha or like ni'ila. Sometimes something else will be docha the maimed of mincha, but it's not going to be docha. It's a maimed that's not its own. So shema mina. That's how you see that there's such a shita of Rabbi Yossi. Now it is interesting because lemaisa the Gemara never really answered the question. Rav Ashi didn't answer Markashisha. You know the question that Markashisha asked. He asked why is it that when there's a korban musaf, the maimed of mincha is nidcha, not only the maimed of musaf. And he says, yeah, there's a tana that holds that way. But he asked, how could there be a tana that doesn't hold that way? So he didn't really explain that shita. He just said that there's a tana that holds that ain't a chinami. It doesn't have the capacity, doesn't have the power to be docha some other maimed. Okay, the Mishnah also said that echad b'teves there was no maimed at all because, as we said, because echad b'teves where everything coincides. You have halal and you have korban musaf and you have korban eitzim and it's Chanukah. So well, halal is Chanukah. So listen, nami bechad b'nisan aloya bo maimed meshiyish bo halal the korban musaf korban eitzim. Why not say echad b'nisan is also one of those days where everything coincides, where everything comes together? Because you have halal of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and you have a korban musaf, and you have a korban eitzim. So the korban musaf should be docha the maimed of musaf mincha, korban eitzim should be docha the maimed of ni'ila, and the halal of Rosh Chodesh should be docha the maimed of shachris. So that should be another example. Amar Rava Zosa Meres. So Rava says, no. Halal de Breish Yarcha Lav Doraisa. The halal of Rosh Chodesh is not a halal midoraisa. Saying halal of Rosh Chodesh is only a minag, and therefore it's not going to be docha the maimed of shachris. But Echad B'Teves, there was no maimed at all, because the halal is a halal of Chanukah. That's not just a halal of Minog. That was Niskan al-Anes. And since the Nevi'im were Masakin to say halal, al-Kol Tzara Shlotava Aleim Kishinagalin, so they would say it on the Geula from that, and that's Kiddo O'Raisa. It has a status like a Da'oraisa. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok, Shmona Asar Yom Bashana. There are 18 days a year, Yachid Gomer Ben Asa Halal, where a Yachid will say the full halal. Ve'elu Hein, Shmona Asar Yachag, Eitiz Sukkah, Shmona Asar Chanukah, Eitiz Chanukah, Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, first day of Pesach, Yom Tov Shal Atzeres on the first day of Shavuos, Ubagola and in Chutz La'aretz where they do two Yom Tov Misafek, Esrim Ve'echad Yom. It's 21 days of the year. Ve'elu Hein Tishas Yemei Chag. It's 9 days of Sukkot because it's an extra day. Shmonas Yemei Chanukah, still only 8 days of Chanukah because there's no Sfeik of the Yom by Chanukah. Shnei Yom Rishon Shal Pesach. It's 2 days of Pesach. Shnei Yom Tov Shal Atzeres and 2 days days of Shavuos, because in Chutzlarts we have the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. Rav Ikla LeBavel. One time, Rav went to Bavel, Chazinu de Kakar Alei LeBreish Yarcha, and he saw that they were saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So Savor Lav Sukinu. So Rav thought to stop them from saying Hallel. You don't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So I apologize to the Zoomers. You don't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So Rav wanted to stop them from saying Hallel, so, because you're not chayv to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And the Gemara in Shabbos says anyone who says Hallel b'chol yomer is a mecharif from a gadif. So it's not just something. What do you lose? You're saying nice things to the Rebbeinu Shalom. No, you lose a lot. You're not allowed to say Hallel. So Amar Shema Mina Minigah. But even the Chazit to come Medalgi Delugi. Once he saw that they were skipping in the Hallel, that they skipped a couple of paragraphs. So he said Shema Mina Minigah v'seim b'yadeim. It must be that it's a minigav v'seim b'yadeim, and therefore you can leave them. There is significant discussion in the poskim when if you're medalik, if you say a chatzi halal, does that mean that you don't have the problem of harayza mechari v'megadev? I mean, does that mean that you're allowed to say b'chol yom, or is it dafka when there's a strong minog? Like Rav said, that Rav really, you need both. You need the fact that it's not a full halal and that there's already a strong minog. This is very nogay, obviously, to the issue of whether you're allowed to say a chatzi halal on Yom Atzmaut, because if you hold that once it's a chatzi halal, then it's not b'chlal harayza mechari v'megadev. So there's very little to lose. But if you hold that that even a chatzi halal is a mechari v'megadev, so then there's a lot to lose, and you better be pretty sure that that you're supposed to be saying halal at such a time. Now the Rishonim are bothered by, well, did he notice if they said a bracha or not? Meaning lechora, if it was only a minhag, they shouldn't be saying a bracha. So that's a major discussion in the Rishonim. Do we in fact say a bracha on a minhag, and is this maybe a raya that we say a bracha on a minhag, or does one not recite a bracha on a minhag? We don't have time to get into that right now, but Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow. I realize we're falling a little behind, but that's by design. The last stop is kind of short, so Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Have a good
Shabbos. Sorry, the Zoom conked out there for a minute.